This evening, I want very simply to preach on the subject, why the Father sent the Son. And I want to base my remarks in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9, 10, and verse 14. Look what it says here in this portion of Scripture. 1 John chapter 4, and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Verse 10, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading, the public reading of His precious word to all of our hearts tonight. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Let us all pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your presence with us this evening. We thank Thee for the reading of the Scriptures in our midst. We thank Thee for these lovely hymns that we have heard sung. And O God, we just pray now as we turn to Thy precious word that You would fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We recognize our need, but O God, we cast ourselves upon Thee. We thank Thee that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And, O God, tonight I pray again that You would come and fill me with Your gracious Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, just to say those things that will be pleasing to Thee. Indeed, my heart's desire is that You would hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. Pray, Lord, You'll help us to uplift and exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for our Saviour. We thank Thee for His coming into this world. And, O God, we pray tonight that You would reveal unto us afresh the reason why the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world. We pray, O God, that You would open hearts to receive Thy word. O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that it's the entrance of Thy word that giveth light. We pray tonight, Lord, as we would consider the Scriptures of truth and study Thy word, that You would have a word for each and every one of our hearts. Close us in with Yourself now. Bless Your word to our souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The greatest event in the history of this world to date is the incarnation of Christ. This event of the incarnation of Christ was, of course, an event that was prophesied and foretold thousands of years before it eventually took place. Indeed, all the prophets from Moses to Malachi not only declared that the Messiah would come, but they foretold in every detail how and where and when He would come to this earth. Today, the birth of Jesus Christ is one of the most well-known facts in the history of this world. In 1 John chapter 4, we are told three times over that God the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world. We've already read the verses. Verse 9, verse 10, and verse 14. We read about the Father sending the Son. The word sent here means to send forth. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in His public ministry upon this earth, He testified to this fact that it was the Father who had sent Him. In John 6, verse 57, Christ said, "The living Father hath sent me." But never forget that although God the Father sent the Son was willing to come to fulfill His Father's will. The Lord Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." But here's the question that we want to ask tonight. It's a very simple question. But it's a question that we want to get an answer to. Why did the Father send His only begotten Son into this world? Well, the answer to this question is found in these three verses that I have read tonight in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John 4, verse 9, 10, and 14, these verses reveal unto us why God the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world. And I pray, as we consider this subject tonight, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, but especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I pray that the Lord will speak particularly to you. Because we have a wonderful message for you tonight, the message of the gospel. And of course, the message of the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our prayer is that if there's someone here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, that even this evening you will come and put your faith and trust in Him. Why did the Father send the Son? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that the Father sent the Son to die for our sins. Look with me at verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4, and you'll read these words, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That speaks to us of substitution. A substitute is one, of course, who takes the place of another. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom the Father sent, became the sinner's substitute. Christ died in the sinner's place. Taking our sins upon Himself, the Son of God became sin for us so that our sins would be forgiven. But notice exactly what it says in verse 10. It says this, that the Father sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means to appease. Therefore, when the Bible speaks about propitiation, it means the appeasement or the turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. Therefore, when Christ died upon the cross for our sins and became the sinner's substitute and shed His precious blood, He turned away the wrath of God from sinners. Of course, in 1 John 4, verse 10, the Apostle John is speaking to those who are saved and who have trusted Christ as their Redeemer. And it's very important that we note that. Therefore, only those who are saved, only those who are born again of the Spirit of God, have been delivered from the wrath of God through Christ's atoning death upon Calvary's cross. So the question is this, are you saved tonight? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Because if you're not, then the Bible tells us that you're still under the wrath and condemnation of God. Tonight, if you're not saved, you need to put your faith in the substitutionary work of Christ. You see, the Father sent the Son to die for our sins so that His wrath could be appeased towards sinners. And of course, that's the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus died upon the cross as a substitute. He died upon the cross as a sin bearer. And that's what is being taught here in this passage of Scripture. And of course, not only is it taught in this passage of Scripture, but it is taught throughout the Word of God. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 25, we read these words, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." And in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, we read these tremendous words, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Well, thank God, the Bible tells us here very clearly in 1 John 4 and verse 10 that the Father sent the Son in order to die for our sins. Isn't that what John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord Jesus coming to his baptism? He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away or beareth away the sins of the world." My friend, the truth is this, that you and I are born in sin. And because of the sin that we have been born with, we're heading to a Christless eternity. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." But thank God, the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the Lord Jesus came into this world to die upon the cross and to be the sinner's substitute, to appease the wrath of God. And thank God when he cried, "It is finished," upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, he finished the work of redemption. And because he has died and because he has risen again, thank God you and I tonight can have our sins forgiven. We can make peace with God through the blood of his cross. We can be reconciled to God because of his death upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. It's not a wonderful message. It's not a wonderful gospel. And thank God, that gospel tonight is for you and for me. But take a look again at 1 John chapter 4. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice, secondly, that the Father sent the Son to give us life. Look what it says in verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." This speaks to us of regeneration, or the new birth. Man naturally is dead because of sin. Spiritually, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Because of our spiritual deadness, we are lost and on our way to hell. We have no spiritual life in us. Nothing we can do of ourselves will ever produce spiritual life within us. True and lasting life can only come from God. Therefore, in order for sinners to obtain this spiritual life, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die on a cross and rise again so that dead sinners could have this spiritual life. The word regeneration means to give new life to. It means to be reborn. That's what the Lord Jesus meant when he said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." What the Savior was saying was that Nicodemus needed to be reborn. He needed to receive new life. He needed to be born again. Now, of course, it was spiritual. Men and women, this is the reason why the Father sent the Son into the world. So that dead sinners could have new life. So that dead sinners could have everlasting life. This new life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, look at it again. "That we might live through him." If you want life, eternal life, then you must come to Christ. You must accept him as Lord of your life. New life and everlasting life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10 verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 11 verse 25 says, indeed, the Lord Jesus again said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 5 verse 24, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And in 1 John 5 and verse 12, we read, "He that hath the Son," that is the Son of God, "hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Oh, I wonder this evening at the close of our service, can you truly say that you have life, eternal life? If you were to die right now, would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? You see, this is the truth that we learn in 1 John chapter 4. That the Father sent the Son to give us life, everlasting life. And thank God, You can have everlasting life tonight. You can know that you have everlasting life tonight. Indeed, let me say this. You must know before you leave this earth that you have everlasting life. The interesting fact in the Bible is this, that when you read about the saints of God, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they all had this knowledge that they were going to heaven, that they were going to spend eternity with the Lord. The Apostle Paul said before he died that he had a desire to be with Christ, which was far better. Paul knew that he had everlasting life. And of course, Paul knew that because there was a day in his life when he got saved, when he repented of his sin and trusted Christ as his Savior. Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road. But the point I want to make is this, that he knew that he had everlasting life. And of course, Peter was the same, because Peter said that he was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And Peter knew that he had an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and that that incorruptible inheritance was in heaven. He knew that because he had received Christ as his Savior. And of course, John, the apostle, knew that he had everlasting life. And David knew that he had everlasting life. And Job knew that he had everlasting life. And we could go on. My friend, tonight, do you know that you have everlasting life? There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved unto him who died on the tree. The Father sent the Son to give us life eternal. But you must receive Christ as your Redeemer if you're ever going to have everlasting life. John 1 verse 12 says, "For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." But notice something else here in 1 John chapter 4. Notice thirdly that the Father sent the Son to be our Savior. Look at verse 14. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." This speaks to us of emancipation. Emancipation means freedom or liberation. It's the act of freedom, freeing. Therefore, the sinner who knows Jesus Christ as Savior is one who has been delivered or liberated by the power of God from sin's penalty. The saved person is one who has been set free from the prison house of sin and brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our sinner, you and I were born in bondage, the bondage of sin. But God sent his Son to deliver us or to set us free from sin's bondage. Emancipation. Thus Christ, when he died upon the cross, became the sinner's Savior, became the sinner's deliverer, became the sinner's liberator. And that's what is being taught here in verse 14. And of course, not only is it taught here, but it is taught throughout the precious, precious Word of God. For example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we read these tremendous words. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, thank God, we can be saved. You can know him as Savior and Lord of your life. There's a Savior from all sin. If you only let him into your heart, he there will reign while you trust him. He will put the evil out, save from every fear and doubt, and you'll soon begin to shout, "Hallelujah." And of course, when we read the record concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read time and time again about how the Lord Jesus came into this world to be the Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. It means Savior. And we read in Matthew 1 verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I wonder, at the close of our meeting this evening, let me challenge you once again from this pulpit, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Can you look back to the day in your life when you trusted Christ alone as your own and personal Redeemer? There's only one Savior, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. My friend, before the Lord Jesus can be your Savior, you've got to recognize that you need a Savior. And before you recognize that you need a Savior, you must recognize that you're the sinner. We've read the verse tonight already. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I wonder tonight, are you willing to take the sinner's place and confess your sin to God and acknowledge that you need forgiveness for your sin and realize and recognize that only Jesus Christ can forgive you for your sin and accept him tonight as Savior? Christmas time is a time when we receive gifts and when we give gifts. And of course, this week you'll be receiving gifts. And when you receive those gifts, the only thing you have to do in order to make it yours is to take it. No money will pass hands. You'll not have to pay for the gifts that are being given to you. You might have to pay for the ones that you're giving to other people, but the ones that you're receiving, you'll have to pay nothing for. My friend, eternal life is the gift of God. And all you have to do tonight is to receive it. The price has been paid. The Lord Jesus has paid that price on Calvary's cross when he shed his precious atoning blood. Thank God this evening. If you were to come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you would receive everlasting life this evening. The Father sent the Son to die for our sins, to be our substitute. The Father sent the Son, sent his only begotten Son in order to deliver us from sin's penalty. He sent the Son to free us from the bondage of sin. He sent the Son to be the Savior. I wonder tonight, at the close of this meeting, will you come and put your faith and trust in God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus? For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee for thy truth this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for thy love to us. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. And oh God, we thank thee for the everlasting life that God promises to all those who trust in him. We pray this evening, Lord, that there might be those in this meeting that will seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. O God, we pray that you would be pleased, Lord, to draw men and women to the foot of the cross and save them for time and for eternity. Bless your word this night to all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn number 93 is our closing hymn. What a lovely hymn it is. "I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men, or why as shepherds he should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how nor when. We'll stand to sing this lovely hymn in closing, number 93. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the love of God to us, that he sent his Son to save us from our sins. O God, I pray tonight that there might be those here who will accept Christ as Saviour. For Lord, until they do, he will never be their Saviour. O God, I pray tonight that you would, in these days, help us, Lord, always to remember the reason why the Lord Jesus came into this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Bless your word to every heart tonight. Bless every family represented in the church this evening. We pray, Lord, that we might all be in Christ, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Separate us now in your love. Bring us to our homes in safety. Give us journeying mercies. Bless us over this holiday time, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.